Zealous. Let's talk about zealous for just a moment. Zealous is akin, if you would, to jealous, and in both the Greek, the Hebrew, and English, it carries through a little bit. Usually, we can say that zealous is to be devoted to a cause, thing, or self, and strive to accomplish that with zeal. Jealousy is to be watchful or guardful for one's rights. And you get kind of a mix, whatever the subject is, as you go into these things. Jealousy can be very negative, or it can be positive in a sense, in as much as God is a jealous God. He doesn't like you messing around with some other religion or some other God or some other way of worship. He just doesn't like it, and he's jealous about that. Jealousy, in a sense, is a part of love, for you can almost make the statement to you must love something before you can really be jealous of it, unless you go over into the field of envy, which is kind of a sister word. But God expects us to have zeal. He expects you to love Him enough that when you go forward, that you with zeal think about Him. I mean, He is important, and He demands that respect. He demands that what you do with zeal. God doesn't kind of like lukewarm people. And I'll document that before we finish this. Now, that isn't to mean that you're to be a religious fanatic or anything of that nature. All things in moderation. But when you believe something, believe it. That's the way it is. And if you haven't worked that out in your mind, that Christ is the Son of God, and that you do believe it with zeal, no doubt, then you have a problem. So, I want to go to the Scriptures. Let's go to the Proverbs, if you would. Open to your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And that wise person that put these forth, put them in a way that we can understand. We're going to find in this particular thing a Hebrew word that is kana. It is spelled in the Hebrew qua alif nun alif. Pronounced kwana. And it means zealous. You're going to find it here translated into the English as envy. So let's pick it up, if we may. Let's start about the 12th verse of the 23rd Proverb. Proverbs 23. We'll pick it up with the 12th verse to lead into this. And it reads, apply thine heart. That means your mind. You know what apply is? That means to put forth effort unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Where does all knowledge come from? It comes from our Father. So the best place for you to apply your mind to pick up on that knowledge and wisdom is His Word. And then verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, of course, that translated to beat in English is a little bit on the heavy side. It means just for the point of correction, and I would add, never, never correct a child when you are angry, and never, ever correct a child until you sit that child down and explain to it satisfaction, but where it should understand why you're doing it. It's important. Otherwise, it turns into a thing of in the child's mind, brutality, because you're possibly a mean person. But if they understand, they're very wise. Remember, you were a child once. And some of us still are. But we're working on it. But explain to the child why you're doing it so that the lesson is learned. Otherwise, you're working for naught, okay? Now, enough said. And And never, never, I must add further, in case someone get carried away with this, don't you ever strike a child about the face. Their faces were made to be enjoyed, not to beat. There is a very adequate place, well padded, whereby little harm comes, to do that correcting in such a way that it smarts. And they get the message, the point, and that's it. Never when you're angry. Okay, that really wasn't the main theme within this, because what God wants you to know that we're all children and He's going to correct you. When you get out of line, He will correct you. You're going to get it. You're going to the woodshed. One way or the other. And why? Because He loves you. If He loves you, He's going to correct you. 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's why God corrects you. He wants to keep you disciplined in His Word. My son, if thine heart, your mind, be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. I want you to think about that a moment. Don't just read over it. If your mind is wise, and where does that come from? From God. It means you've been studying His Word. It means you've been in it. And that makes Him happy. It makes His day. And that opens up the avenue of reward for you. Because God, as well as He corrects, He really rewards those that make His day, those that make Him happy. Verse 16, yea, my reins, that means from the very center of my being, shall rejoice, even thy lips speak, when thy lips speak right things. And when, what are you speaking when you speak right things? His Word, His plan, what you've gained from it, that's wisdom. That pleases Him. 17, let not thine heart, this is your mind, envy. There's that word, qua, alif, nun, alif. Kana. It means zealous. And if you don't pick up on zealous for this, you're not quite going to get the full thought that God has within it. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. What does this mean? Don't you be zealous. Don't you say, hey, that old boy there, he's a sinner, but look what he's raking in. He's taking shortcuts, getting by with it. There you made a big mistake. That would be stupid to think he was getting by with it, because somebody's watching. And it's your father. He's not going to get away with it. That's the dumbest thing in the world, to think that the wicked always win. I mean, you're not really even, you don't even really have a good base Christianity about you if you think that the wicked win. When it's written, they lose. They're out of here. They're guilt trips. They're unhappiness. They're shame. There's nothing good about, I don't want to say shortcuts, because we're supposed to use common sense in all things, and sometimes a wise person uses their good judgment, but to actually cheat someone else is wrong. That is not a shortcut. What was it the old Scotchman said? I think I'll bring this in here. Son, never chate. But rather than be chated, chate just a little bit yourself. You know, well, I really can't adhere to that. But it just came to mind that perhaps, you know, you want to be wise and do things the best way possible. You know, you don't want to belabor something where you could have moved on and done something else. To belabor something is certainly not to be zealous. You're spinning your wheels, all right? So whatever you do, don't, more so than envy, zealously seek to copy or do what some sinner might. It's not right. All right? And verse 18, for surely there is an end. There's an end time coming. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. Your reward will not be cut off. That's what you get. OK? Okay? And my friend, you don't have to wait until the end to cash in your reward. God rewards you almost daily if you know how to count your blessings. I mean, the very air we breathe is a blessing. If you don't believe it, make a trip to L.A. someday on a hot, smoky day and try it. You know, your old eyes will burn. I mean, that's a lot to be thankful for, you know, is to be alive and to be able to help God's children. Boy, that's a blessing. It really is. And you've got some poor person over here that is so misled, they don't know which way is up from down. And there you stand containing all that wisdom from God's Word. And you can sprinkle that upon them. I didn't say drown them with it. Sprinkle it on them. And just give them a breath of fresh air. And do it with zeal. You know, don't you just love it when somebody comes up to you and says, "Boy, I've got some good news for you." Yeah, I've got some. It's exciting. You know. I mean, be zealous, all right? Show from your heart that you believe, that you really believe the wisdom that is within you that you gain from your Father's Word. Let it show. Let your countenance show that joy, you know. And it's like you come along and it's just a difference in people. And there's going to be a scripture come up along soon, and I'll call it to your attention when we pass it. Nobody really likes someone. You say, "Hey, how are you today?" That's just kind of that's the English language. It's kind of like, "How are you? How do you do?" Rather, well, to a linguist, you stop and you think, "Well, how do you do what? You know, what does that mean?" You know, well, just how do you do? Well, I just do. Okay. You know, we have a lot of lost words in English, but that's tradition, all right? And okay. So you walk up to somebody and say, "How are you feeling today?" "Oh, I'm glad you asked." You're going to spend some time, friend. This is going to take a while, okay? Well, don't be like that. I mean, I don't care how you feel inside. Well, I do. I want you all to feel good inside. But let your countenance when you're speaking for the Master shine. And then He will see that you are feeling good inside when you wisely feed this flesh like He tells you to. So you'll feel good if you eat the way I tell you to. Okay, well, it doesn't really say that, but it's implied anyway, okay? All right. You're going to get your reward. That's what He's saying. 19. "Hear thou, my son, and be wise and guide thine heart in the way." What way? His way. There's only one way. And it is our Father's way. Skip on, if you would, to Proverbs 24. We're going to have the same word again. Okay? And pronounce kana. Verse 1, "Be not thou envious," there it is, and think of it in the sense of zealous. I mean, a lot of people see it and they get out there and they really go for it, you know. "Be not envious or zealous against evil men, neither desire to be with them." That's just not going to get it, okay? 2, "For their hearts studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Anytime, you might say, "Well, what kind of destruction?" Might be the destruction of your family if you listen to evil people. It could ultimately bring about the destruction of your family. Quite frankly, the destruction of your happiness. I mean, they're not actually after you, but you're not in their interest to help in the long run. They're in it for themselves. I'm talking about an evil person. They only want to use you in most cases. So don't rush out there to mix it up with them, all right? it will harm you because all they think about is that brings to naught and destruction. Verse 3. Through wisdom, though wisdom is an house built, through wisdom is a house builded. Do you want a happy family? Listen to this. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Anybody can go down here and buy a home if they work hard enough for it, and there it is, bricks and, you know, mortar or whatever the case may be. But it is not established, or it's not a home until you live in it with understanding and peace of mind. Your home basically is your nest. And wisdom establishes that. You've got to know that. Oftentimes, people allow Satan to move in with them, you know, or the evil doubters that are always planning destruction. And a child might be naughty and you reach over and pop it, you know, without explaining or something. And you put a terrible gash in the family relationship. Because that child doesn't understand. You didn't explain. You're supposed to be the adult. Or a husband and wife, one says, we're going to get out of bed tomorrow on the left side of the bed. Because I'm parking this here. Oh, you're going to park it there. And they're going to pretty soon, no, I insist. You know, not that it's that important, but I was the one that said it here. I learned all this from my own marriage, okay? It's true life experience. This has never happened in my family, but it could, you know. What have you? We might have the sauna bath over here instead of over there. You know, it'd be easier. But anyway, pretty soon you end up in an argument. Over what? You know, Satan's over there. Oh, look at God's little angels going at it. You know, they're really whipping it on, aren't they? I've got them. They don't know it, but I've got them in my pocket. And here they go over nothing, like little children, you know, arguing over junk. Something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans becomes a major point of the day. Especially, like if you have a weekend and it's for rest and relaxation. And the first thing you do, oh, it's good. I'm glad I don't have to work today. What are we going to have for breakfast? Scrambled eggs and sausage. Good beef sausage. No, I don't want scrambled egg and beef sausage. And I want so-and-so. What made you think of such a thing anyway? And pretty soon, wow, and here we go. Yep. Rest and relaxation, it can ruin your family. You know, that was prime time. That you were supposed to let the old body, you know, the old bod relax and be ready to hit it Monday morning. You know, and you blew it. Say, I didn't plan all. Did anybody need this? I really didn't plan this. Maybe it's me that need. I don't know. But be that as it may, your home is established, not built. Anybody can make house payments if they work. But to establish a home is altogether a different thing. Okay, a lot of people live in a house, but there's not all that many homes. Verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Well, what's pleasant to you and what is really rich to you? A happy family is one of the richest things in the world. And I mean, a lot of you people that grew up in my time back in the Depression, you can really document that the pleasant thing, we it was really pleasant. Though we didn't have much, and though it was lean, we didn't have contact with so many evil people back at that time by what is called the boob tube and all that sort of stuff that comes right into your home and so forth. You know what I mean. Those were riches I wouldn't take from my childhood. I made better cars and trucks out of empty spools, and a match stem and a rubber band than you can buy. Had more fun with it. Right over there in Oklahoma, boy, I tell you what. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. We made it fine. So count your blessings and your riches, and pleasure is probably about one of the most valuable things you can possess. And that comes from the wisdom of God. And don't get hung up on the Joneses. Don't envy them. I better not do that. Sometimes somebody's going to say, well, what have you got against us Joneses? How many Joneses are in here? I don't know. But anyway, be that as it may, I got it raked over the coals over my one verse Charlie. It just so happened in my native state there was a preacher named Charlie. Most of the congregation listened to me. With his approval, of course. But he said, I am just really tired of you saying one verse Charlie's because they're bugging me about it. Whatever that has to do with it, I don't know. Anyway, 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. And it will do it. Well, I wished I had some of that. Well, get into God's Word. When you're really having problems, you need it worse than any other time. Just take a few minutes and get off to yourself or with the family and get into God's wisdom. It will strengthen you. Do you know what else it does? Why do you come to church? So you can feel zealous for a moment for God. But you can do it yourself in your home. See, that's strength. That's power. And that's authority. It's real, my friend. Be zealous for your Father. Okay, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. War against what? The adversary. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. I can't afford a counselor. I wish I could, but I just can't afford one. You got them here. Isaiah, Jeremiah, you got Daniel, you got old John in the book of Revelation, you got Paul and all the doctrinal epistles telling you how to get along with the little lady and all that kind of stuff, you know. Then what if you do this and if you do that, you're going to fall in the ditch? That's counseling, friend, and our Father is behind every minute of it. Do it with zeal. That means put some feeling in it, all right? And you'll find that strength. 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Doesn't hurt every once in a while to take inventory. Well, I just can't understand it. Well, there's nothing wrong with understanding it. That's why God gives us teachers and scholars and has all down through the years at times. But most people want to play the fool because they don't want to be zealous and worry about it. And maybe if any time, let me give you some real good advice. This is what I do, and that's why I know it works. If I cover something and I don't understand it, and that happens, believe me, it does. And I study and I study, and it just won't come through. Do you know what I do? I get off and I go, okay, Lord, I got to have some help on this one. I know it's there. I can just really feel it. But I don't really, I know there's an in-depth feeling and emotion that you want me to see from this and teach. But I can't get it. And then, in just a moment or two, boom, a whole paragraph flies into your mind. And you say, why didn't I? That is so silly that I didn't see that. Silly me. You know, it was so easy. He will help you. That's why He's real when you do it with zeal. All right, that means feeling and striving to find that happiness and that success. Anything that you don't work for ain't worth a flip. But when you work for it, then you can appreciate it because you, with God's help, accomplished it. All right? He openeth not his mouth, and wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. The gate is the seat of judgment. And naturally, when it comes time to judge or make a decision, a fool's not going to open his mouth. Why? I'm afraid. If I do this, well, I know that'll happen. And I know before it's wrong, I'll be wrong. Well, yeah, you probably will be. God doesn't like lukewarm people. What does it hurt to discipline yourself whereby when you have to make a decision, put everything you have into making the right decision, but do something? What is the harm if you do it wrong? Do you know what? You're going to learn something. That was not the way. Now I can make the right decision, and you back up and get with it. See? You didn't waste much. You learned something. And that's the way you have to handle life. Don't be afraid. Don't be lukewarm, or God will spew you out of His mouth. It's very biblical. He likes can-do type people. And yep, can-do type people mess up. But they learn from it. A fool never opens his mouth when it comes to decision. He just sits there, and pretty soon the strong stream will wash him on wherever he hits and lights. That's it. You know, well, I tried. No, you didn't. You let the force of nature carry you. You didn't decide anything. All right? Now, verse 8. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. And it doesn't take too long for you to decide in your community who is mischievous, who causes the trouble. I mean, you're wise. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Don't you just hate somebody that is a scorner all the time? You know, all they can do is gossip, and they can never say anything good. It's always, oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? I understand that he. Don't ever listen to junk. 9 times out of 10, it's not true, all right? Or at least it begs the truth so hard that it wasn't the original intent whatsoever of the person that's probably being scorned. So be very careful. I'll tell you what, you take it from an old counselor. Never, but never, make a judgment until you've heard both sides of the stories. Don't you allow yourself to do it. Never, but never make a judgment until you hear both sides of the story. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge, but in adulthood and in family matters, occasionally we have to. I don't need to make an analogy of this, do I? But maybe I will. We got little Joey and little Billy. Little angels of God, you know. But there's only one hammer, okay, to play with. And Joey's got it and Billy wants it. And Joey, Mama has told Joey, do not take toys away from your little brother, okay? So he goes over and he finds a toy truck. And he accidentally throws it at his brother. He didn't bother the hammer, and his brother, you know, turned and said, you threw that at me, and he picks the hammer and takes off after his brother, and you look up about that time, and that ornery little Dickens is chasing his brother with a hammer. All right? Well, you only heard, you know, what you saw only gave you one side of the story. There's always two sides. Okay, be that as it may. Okay, where did we get? We got 10? No, we'll do 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. In other words, don't let things get you down. You have a refuge anytime you want to slip into it for a second in your mind. You can... What did Christ say? I go to prepare a mansion for you. Well, the word in the Greek is moni, and it means a resting place. And that's for you today if you really believe and work with Him with zeal. I don't care how rough it's getting. If it only takes a split second, your mind is capable of many things. For a split second, you can just step back into that recess of His arms and rest for a moment and ask. You don't even have to close your eyes. You can be talking to someone. Rest there a moment and ask for strength. You'll get it. You will really get it. It works. He never lets you down. Okay? So don't faint, because then it is true your strength is small because you're drawing it from the wrong source. Verse 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, verse 12, if thou sayest Behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Do you think God doesn't know it? What it's saying here, if you knew someone was the innocent and you kept your mouth shut and let them get hung, now take this in whatever level you wish to take it. You could have made it easy for someone by explaining something, but you keep your mouth shut. Do you think God doesn't know that? Do you think that you will not be held responsible? I mean, not to the death or anything like that, but He's going to punish you for it. And then some people will say, I wonder why things bad happen to me. Well, I can tell you. You know, think about it. It's not that difficult. God is very simple. And He said, if you need correcting, if you keep, you know, He said, do you think that God doesn't know about it? The answer is, of course He does. And He that keepeth thy soul, that's our Father, doth not He know it? You bet He knows it. And shall not He render to every man according to his works? You might underline that work in your mind. Of course He does. And Christians are so bad to get on guilt trips. Oh, He's going to get me for my work. No, you get rewarded for your work, beloved. I mean, it's payday. And He's going to bring blessings into your family when He rewards you for things. God is not trying to zap you. God is not trying to make your family unhappy. He's trying everything He can to get you to be zealous for Him so that He in turn then can impart wisdom into your mind and bring you happiness, peace of mind. I was going to change there, but I've got to go one more verse. My son, eat thou honey because it is good. And it is. That's prophet's food. I wouldn't dream about letting a day go by without taking a big old spoonful of honey. I'm teasing, all right? I do anyway, but symbolically, okay? I just love it. I love natural things. I do. I love honey. Okay. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to the taste. That's how God's Word is, beloved, when you're zealous. Sweet. It's good. 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. You're not going to lose. I got to go some farther here, okay? This is too good to stop right here. Too good a proverb, a saying. All right? It is truth. You know, that is really one of the secrets to being zealous, to work and study God's Word with zeal, is when you get the taste of it, all right? In the buds of your mind, it is just so sweet. And probably one of the first things we learn is, regardless of how long we study, we don't know it all. A lot of people will arrive at that point, well, I don't have to go to church and I don't have to study anymore. I see the overall plan and that's it. You fool. My word, the word's pregnant and it just grows and grows and grows and we know so little. As a matter of fact, if you truly are seeing the Word, if you're truly zealous for God, then you're just beginning to learn enough to know how many things we don't know, don't understand. But still, at the same time, you have the love and the patience to know when we need it, He'll give it to us. All right? That's peace of mind. It's sweet. 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. He's not going to quit. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And they'll stay there. Do you know something? A brave man dies once, but a coward dies 1,000 deaths in his lifetime. Think about it, right? Be brave for the Father. 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. That's why sometimes you'll hear me say, God even scores up. And if somebody really wrongs you, especially if you're working for the Father, maybe you should pray for them. I'm not saying you're supposed to take a bunch of malarkey off of somebody. Don't misunderstand. I'm just saying, you don't have to rejoice. You know why? 18. Lest the Lord see it and it displease Him. If the Lord sees you rejoicing, that will kind of displease Him a little bit if you're getting carried away and overboard, you know, because after all, that is His kid too, you know. And He turned away His wrath from him, because God's wrath is going to be upon the person that knocks you down. He's watching, and He carries a big stick. Fret not thyself because of evil men. Don't worry about them. Neither be thou envious, there's that word again, at the wicked. Don't be zealous to want to do what they do. Why? 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Period. That's it. That's all there is in wickedness. Candle put out. What about your candle? Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine that others can see in your life the zeal that you have for the Father. You don't even have to tell anybody. They can tell it. They'll know. When you really get into His Word, plug into that big socket, the 220, you know, plug into that strength and that power and move with Him, and it will show the strength, the wisdom, and most of all, the blessings of God, because your Father is a rewarder. And some people might say, well, that person really gets a lot of breaks. Well, if they're from God, they deserve it. All right? That's the way our Father operates. He's fair. If you're just, He is certainly good. Okay, that pretty well covers it from the Old Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22 in the New Testament. And let's go to our dear brother Paul. And let's see if we're not careful, if you're not well-rooted in our Father's Word, what zealous can do for you. That is to say, if you were to listen to false teachers and you were zealous for their teaching, you would certainly be out of step with God. All right? So, chapter 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, Paul's beginning to speak here in Hebrew to a large audience, and they're really shook because here he's a Hellenist, supposed to be speaking Greek, and man, he is speaking pure Hebrew, and it shakes them up. They listen. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, meaning I lived in the land of Judea. Born in Tarshish, whoa, we got a Roman city here now, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city and at the feet of Gamaliel. In other words, he was really a Benjamite, all right? Romans 11 documents that. This was a great scholar, Gamaliel was, of the Torah, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous. Boy, zealous wasn't even the word for Paul. Toward God, as ye are all are this day. In other words, well, let's read on and see what it was he was so zealous about. He was so hopped up to serve God in the ways of the so-called fathers that, verse 4, and I persecuted this way. What way? The Christian way. Christians. Unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. But there I was. I thought I was doing right. But I was zealous for God. So, was Paul blessed in that? Well, he continued on to tell them what happened on the road to Damascus. How that he was struck down. And how the true word came to him. and how he got his act together. And he was still zealous for God. But he was in the true word rather than the words of the fathers, according to this rabbi or that rabbi. That's one problem Gamaliel had. You know, you leave the Torah and get off too much into the writings of the good brothers. This brother's opinion, that brother's opinion. Opinions are fine, but God's word is perfect when you take time to analyze it. And don't you like quality? Especially if it's your advice to you. I mean, you want quality because you want the best. Well, this is it. The Word of God, His plan. So, Paul was zealous in a wrong way. So, even in zealousy, we can falter if we're not careful. There are so many squirrels running loose in this generation with high thoughts of religion and dates and times and which there's nothing wrong with looking at those things. But, I mean, they'll walk along and they'll say, did you see the shadow behind that tree? Well, fool, every tree has a shadow behind it if the light's right. You know? Or they'll say, the moon did a flip-flop. You know? Well, I didn't see it. And they had a bug in their eye. You know? I mean, freaky nuts. Listen to me. I'm going to blow one of my Passover messages if I'm not careful here that the Father's got all bundled up for then, so I'm going to drop that subject right there. Be careful. God has a way of warning us, and I'll tell you what, I promise I'll share it with you come Passover. Boy. Anyway, be zealous in the right way. Don't listen to squirrels. Do you know what squirrels have the most attention in? Nuts. All right? So be careful. There are a lot of nuts running loose, you know, and I don't know why. It seems like sometimes we attract them, and I'm not giving you a compliment. There's none here, thank God. I'm just telling you, be careful. Never be afraid to study the Word of God. I don't want you to draw the wrong impression. But don't make a religion out of some fringe thing. That's what went wrong in the first place. Now, moving right along here. Let's, if we may, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, one you're very familiar with. What was one of the main warnings concerning being zealous? Paul again, this is when he's got his act together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I began reading verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. In other words, I hope that you're not really throwing, but I want to tell you what's really in my heart. That's what he's saying. For I am jealous. Now I want you to underline that word jealous in your mind. In the Greek, it is Z, I'll spell it in English, Z-E-L-O-O. It is pronounced zeloo. Zeloo. You can almost hear zealous in that if you're listening. It means zealous in the Greek. I'm really zealous. Everything Paul did, he was zealous about. He didn't do anything halfway. He said, I'm really zealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's when he returns at the second advent, of course. 3, but I fear, I'm really afraid of this, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, beguiled meaning wholly seduced, expatio in the Greek, Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds, I repeat, minds, not necessarily bodies, minds, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, you can't quite stick with the simplicity of Christ. You've got to go chase a bunch of nuts or squirrels. And you just love to hear them, and you swallow it up hook, line, and sinker. That's what he's going to say in the next verse, but that was my translation. Okay, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, the fake one, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And again, that's you like it. You swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And he continues on telling them, you know, you are so easily deceived when a super preacher comes along. You can read it for yourself. I'm not going to... And he said, I don't like to brag on myself, but I probably know more than they do coming out the gate. Paul didn't brag on him. That's why he said, you be easy with me here for a moment. I want to share something. One of these nuts come along and start planting false seed, and you just get out there and help them plow. Isn't the simplicity of God's Word good enough for you? Because when you get away from it, friend, and you get out on the nut farm, you know, that's what you're going to end up with. That's sure right. And you know something? Sometimes if you're not careful, if you get so steep with those nuts, you really get in worse shape as far as using common sense is concerned as somebody maybe that has a mental disease and is on a nut farm. Reminds me of over here at Bonita. There, you know, there was a hospital there. And this guy just across the fence, these two old-timers that were in the hospital were sitting there. And this guy comes along and he's pushing a wheelbarrow. And he's got it full of chicken manure, you know, and he's rolling it along. And he goes on and they said, hey, fella, from the other side of the fence, what are you going to do with that chicken manure? He said, I'm going to put it on my strawberries. And the one looked at the other and said, you know, we thought, they think we got problems. I like sugar on mine. You know, so be careful, all right? What Paul is saying, beware of nuts that bring another gospel other than what you've been taught using the simplicity of the Word. And what his master warning was from this, verse 13. For such are false apostles, these people that bring another gospel, all right? You don't have to study the Bible. You're going to fly away anyway. That's not in the God's Word. That's another gospel. All right? Deceitful workers transforming or disguising themselves into apostles of Christ. They're a bunch of fakes. Nuts. And no marvel, don't marvel at that you've got a few squirrels loose. For Satan himself is disguised into an angel of light. And he's coming as the false Christ, disguised as that angel of light. That's what Lucifer means, you know, bright star. Isn't that good enough for you, the warning from God's Word that it's going to happen? Of course it is. And he was zealously striving to make that point to you. So be zealous in that yourself, that you keep people aligned in the simplicity, the common sense in which God teaches us, which is just natural. That's just the way it is. You know, right after 2 Timothy, there's a little bitty short book there. What is the name of it? Just right at the end of 2 Timothy, it's called Titus. Fantastic little old book, real short. But it's also warning about fables of men that destroy the truth. But this is kind of what God begins to tell you. We're only going to cover 6 more verses and we're going to conclude with that. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. This is what we're doing. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God, that's at the end of the millennium, Yahweh, El Shaddai, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's soon. That's at the first day of the millennium, the Lord's Day. Verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, you can't ask for more than that He might redeem. You know what redeem is? Rescue us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's what He wants. If you want to know how to please Him, that's what He wants. He knows that we all fall short. He knows that we all sin. So, what do? He gave you a way. Do you know where that's written? Let's see. Let's go one more verse and I'll document. All right, verse 15. These things speak. This word really should be teach. These things teach and exhort, and you do it boldly. And rebuke with all authority. Don't you mamby-pamby around. Be gentle, use common sense, but be strong. Be bold. You can afford to. You're a child of God. Let no man despise thee. This is really a translation that won't fly. Don't let any man slight you. I mean, you're a child of God. We don't take second seats to nobody unless we graciously get up and say, ma'am, sit down. I mean, she's 9 months along, you know, and you give her the seat. I'm saying we have compassion. But don't let somebody push you around when it comes to the Word of God. Don't let one of these squirrels try to tree you thinking you're a nut, okay? You're too solid in God's Word for that, all right? Stand firm and tell them where to go when they begin that drifting off into never, never land. God is very natural. He built a real world. It has a morning and it has an evening. And a wise person can expect the sun to come up if it isn't cloudy, and it's going to go down at night. All right? And it's real easy to use common sense and be able to communicate with your Father and understand. Now, about this lukewarm business, you all know where that is. That's Revelation chapter 3 in closing. God kind of loved that bunch of that was the church of the Laodiceans. I mean, He liked them pretty good. He wanted them to straighten up. He didn't mention anything too vile or other than that they were a church that just kind of, well, I'm here. I turned out for God. They were lukewarm. God doesn't like lukewarm people. What does He say about it? Verse 16. I'm 15. Let's start there. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would there were cold or hot. I wish you'd do something. Even if it was wrong, I'd rather you did that. In a sense, is what He's saying, in your trying. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, Paul was very cold when he was zealous for traditions. And he made it rough. He helped the coats in Acts chapter 7 while they murdered Stephen. I mean, you won't find a better man than Stephen was. Paul didn't throw a stone, but he was in on it. And thought he was serving God. Yes, go, go, go. You see. But at the same time, he's cleaned up his act. God kind of did it for him because of what happened in the first earth age. And he was still zealous. Zealous that you would not go wrong, that you would be able to pick up on common sense. Verse 17, let's just cover it. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's their position in heaven. I mean, some of them are so holy and righteous in their acts of traditions of men or their dreams that they're so holy. And they're naked as a jaybird when they get away from the gospel of Christ. That's what they're going to be in heaven. Not that we'll laugh at them or anything, but it's a thing of shame. It really is that people, that God isn't good enough for some people. 18, what does he do? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, do you know what kind of gold that is? That's your deeds that pass the test of heat that he describes. Some of your deeds are like fodder, and some of them are like gold. What happens to fodder when you put it in the fire? What happens to gold? If anything, it gets better. All right? He said, that's what I want you to do. Be zealous and do those deeds, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that your righteous acts, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Do you know what that is? Truth. You can be blind to the truth, and when you anoint it with the Word of God, that thou mayest see. I'm going to tell you what, squirrel droppings won't do it for you, friend. Won't do it at all. It takes the true Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And don't worry, you'll never understand everything that's in it anyway, much less spend time out here chasing whirlwinds. All right? Verse 19, as many as I love... Now never forget this. Remember this verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He knew you were going to mess up occasionally. Repent. Get a fresh plate, a fresh start. Get back into His Word. Move forward. Do something. Don't be lukewarm. He doesn't like that. I'm certainly always use your best judgment. Don't rush into an error. But use your best judgment. And most of the time, if you've done your homework in God's Word and you've done your homework in marketing or whatever it is you're branching out into, you're going to be right. Most of the time. Every once in a while you'll slip. Hey, a strong person gets up and hits it again, a little different angles, because that angle didn't work too good. You know? And God will bless. So he said, zealous in works, and be zealous and repent. That's necessary. He knows us. He knows that we fall short and that repentance is necessary for us. Thus the price on the cross. Why? We're not perfect. I wish we could be, I think, but we're not. So stay with His Word. Be natural in Him. Don't let anybody snow you with a bunch of smoke. All right? And smoke screens. God's not trying to zap you, and He brings His secrets out whereby you can see them. If you're zealous, that means you strive to do His work. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Father, and that zeal that we experience in the emotions of the writers, Father, that You touched through the years, that they share with us these things, Father. Make it a part of our daily life. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.